Welcome to church. Live streamers, we haven't forgotten about you. We want to welcome you this morning, wherever you may be, that you've stopped your day and taken time to live stream and to sit at the Father's feet and to hear the Word, because we know that the Word will change us. We believe that here. That's why we continue to come. We continue to assemble ourselves and let God teach us and instruct us and lead us and guide us and even correct us and discipline us by His Spirit. Amen? Amen. So if you need a title, my title is Spiritual Liberty. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We bless you, Lord God. We are so honored that we live in a country that can assemble together in freedom and liberty, Lord God, that we don't have to hide behind closed doors, but that we can be bold and courageous and confident in whom we believe, Lord, that we declare and decree that the Lord Jehovah is the only true God. He is Savior, He is Redeemer and Creator. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So I want to talk to you about spiritual liberty, because we always know about freedom. We're always, you know, everyone wants their rights. And the whole idea about rights is so you gain freedom. And we know that out here, but I'm going to talk to you this morning about having spiritual freedom, spiritual liberty, because the Bible clearly tells us that everything should originate from the Spirit. Amen. And that's what we're going to look at. We're just going to really look at simple scriptures, and we're going to talk about how that really relates to us in the reality of who we are, what we believe, and what we're supposed to be about. Amen. So I want to start out with the New King James Version, and go with me to Galatians 5:1. We're going to be very familiar with these scriptures, but I want us to look at just in the light of spiritual freedom. I'm not talking about protesting. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about that you and I personally, that we understand that we have been given spiritual liberty. Amen? So, Galatians 5:1 says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." And what he was talking about here was they received Christ, and they were trying to go back and live one foot in the law and one foot, you know, in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we understand Jesus came and fulfilled the law. We're not trying to ignore the law and say the law doesn't exist anymore. We're not doing that. We're saying that now God has brought us to a place where, not out of duty or religion or ritual, we're going to serve God, but out of a relationship. I know some people don't like this. Women's rights, oh my, they didn't do us any favors. I'm just telling you that nobody likes a woman to say, "I want to serve my husband." Man, that just lights a fire under people for some reason. But you know what? We ought to, ladies, want to serve our husband. There's not a thing wrong with servitude, because it's not slavery. It's servitude. And you know what? Shame on us, church, if that's how we look at things. Shame on us. That's not who we are. We should have clarity about spiritual freedom and liberty according to the Scripture. It says stand fast. It means to be fixed firmly and fastened. And some actually say to persevere. Persevere in the liberty that we have been given. It's a spiritual liberty. We've got to get acquainted with who we are in Christ Jesus, and stop continuing to try to say who I am by the flesh. You know, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a flesh nature. But when I got saved and began to be taught, then I realized, well, that explains about some things that I can't seem to get a hold of, because I'm spirit, soul, and body. And there is a flesh nature. And I have been delivered out of that. And I've got to learn what that means to me as a believer and a Christian. Because there's a lot of Christians that they are totally not living spiritually liberated. They are living flesh. They are walking, talking, living flesh. And they do always have questions. Why? Because they don't know who they are. They really don't even know that they're a spirit being. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, that there should be an expression coming from me about who I found out I am in Christ Jesus, who you found out you are in Christ Jesus, that we should have an expression coming from us once we really learn who we are. Now, if you haven't ever learned anything about who you are, about a spirit, soul, and body, and you don't get, you know, that's done, those are listed in the Bible in the correct order, spirit, soul, body, because we receive the word in the spirit, by the spirit. That's where we meditate in our spirit. We meditate, we ponder, we get a confession so that that word grows in our spirit. Then we can renew our mind. A renewed mind is a takes place with the restored soul, and out of that restored soul, I can get my body to come in line. But without that, I can never get my body to come in line, because my body wants to act out. Or my body wants to lay down when you're supposed to rise up, or rise up when I'm supposed to be laid down. You know, it's never in the right position at the right time in the right place if I don't understand that my liberty and my freedom is spiritual. It's from the spirit realm. We have to get this, because otherwise we just fall in or fall out. We're supposed to be in, but we're out. We're supposed to be out, but we're in. And we get ourselves all messed up and all confused and all, you know, and then we have to pray that scripture about God, deliver me from my own destruction. When really, if I would have remembered who I was in Christ and what I had been given and where life comes from, I probably would not have had so much to do with my own destruction. And you know, it's sobering. And you have to think about that. And you have to get your mind over in that realm of, wait a minute, we're talking, this is a spiritual life, a spiritual word. It's a spiritual way to do things. I don't just react out here all the time. I remember, and I've shared this with you before, but I remember one time, this is years ago now, but I still keep it to myself and I still rehearse it, that one time sitting quiet before the Lord, this thought came up in me. I've never heard an audible voice, but the thought came up into me that, Hugh Ellen, the light that is in you and coming from you will rise up against the darkness coming at you. And, you know, because we've got to remember these things and we've got to know them. And we've got to give ourselves to them. We have to yield to these things. Because our flesh is always ready to yield. I mean, we just got to talk real here. My flesh is always ready to yield. But now, as we're going to see in the scripture, I don't have to allow that flesh to yield. Me, the real me, I can yield. And things will be different. I'll have God's results. I'll have that peace that I'm always looking for. I don't know about you, but I like living in peace. I don't look forward to storms. I don't look forward to tests and trials. I like peace. Amen? So let's go to James 1:25, and I'm going to read this out of the Good News Bible. I don't know if we have that, but I'm going to read it out of that. Because it's good to actually open up the word and for us to see whatever we can open up to help us understand what we've been given and how we're supposed to live, we need to do it. And you have to search the scriptures. You know, don't look out there to other things or other people, but get into the word and search the scriptures and ask the Holy Spirit, lead me to the place where I can see and I can know. Because it's spiritual. If you're looking for this and this all the time to tell you and to show you and to settle you, you've missed it. We have to start with the spiritual realm. from the spiritual realm, then I can get these eyes and these natural ears in the right direction. Amen. So this is what it says in James 1:25 in the Good News Bible. It says, but if you look closely, see, that's what I'm talking about, getting serious with the word. If you look closely into the perfect law that sets people free, you know, Jesus is that liberty, and keep on paying attention to it, and do not simply listen and then forget it, but put it into practice. There is a key. Why do I stick with the word? Why am I all the time coming and availing myself of church meetings and classes and fellowship and the breaking of bread? Why? Communion. Why am I continuing to do this? Because I'm putting it into practice. When I first got saved, you know, we went all in. We were excited. We didn't even know you could know God. We didn't think you could know him, and we definitely didn't think you could please him. But then we started sitting in a ministry that would preach the word, and we saw, my gosh, you can have a real relationship just like a natural relationship, which we're all used to different relationships. You can have a deep, real spiritual connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of just talking about him, you can talk with him and talk to him. And you can relate to him, and he'll relate to you. And I remember Morgan and I, day after day, we'd talk about this in our house. We just couldn't get over it because we came out of religion, raised in the church. We never were not in church, ever. Ever from being born in church. And we did develop one good habit about when the church doors are open, you're there. That was not a horrible habit to have. Since I've realized this now, because it seems so hard to get to church, you know, it does. It seems like everything comes against it. But yet, we remember that, and we would talk it and talk it. We're gonna be able to know God. We're gonna have a relationship with God. We're gonna actually be able to please him and know that he is pleased. And from that day to this, that's what we're doing. We're putting into practice. And it goes on to say, then you will be blessed by God in what you do. So let's just throw this thought out there. Let's just throw this out. What is the liberty and freedom about? It's to serve him and do his will. I mean, let's talk about this. What is this really about? It's about serving him and doing his will. That's why I have liberty. That's why I have freedom. This is a spiritual thing. This isn't out here with whatever's going on in the government or your neighborhood or a family situation. This is way beyond that, deeper than that. This is my spiritual life, your spiritual life. It can get well. It can get better. It can please God. It will cause you to serve him, putting into practice, still putting into practice after all these years, still finding people that say to us, are you still going to that same church? Oh, yes. Yes, we are. You're kidding. No, we're not kidding. We're going to a place that teaches us. We're going to a place that loves and supports us. We're going to a place where we believe the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, is there in that ministry. We know his presence lives in the believer, but I believe his presence also rests and his blessing rests in this house, in this ministry. I confess it every Tuesday corporately. If you sit next to me, you'll hear me confess it over New Life Family Worship and all of the people that join to us. I confess it because I believe it. I believe the blessing is in the house and the provision to serve the people. I believe it with everything in me. Do I know how that's going to look? Nope, don't know how that's going to look. But I put faith and confident trust and assurance that the blessing is upon this house and in this house, and the provision is in the house. So with the blessing and the provision of God, which is spiritual first, we will be able to serve the people, meet the needs of the people, touch those that maybe only come through those doors one time. But because they come once, There'll be something that they hear, something that they see. There'll be a touch. There'll be an experience. There'll be an encounter. And I go through all of this corporately because I know we've joined together for a purpose. And this is part of God's purpose, so that we can serve Him with gladness and joy and to do His will and not draw back from it or say, oh, we can't do that. No, we're not going to be that church. We're not going to be that body of believers. We're going to push forward and we're going to put into practice that which we are receiving spiritually. And in that, what we're receiving and exercising and practicing, we're this body of believers corporately will grow spiritually, and also as individual believers joined to this body under this authority of this body and this ministry, then also that we will grow. We will grow spiritually. I am growing spiritually. I'm hoping that you can think about yourself and realize that you are growing spiritually. You should be able to recognize that in here. Not, I'm not talking out here. I'm talking in here. In you. The real you, in you. You should be able to know that and to perceive it and to understand it. Amen? All right, let's go on to 1 Peter 2:16. Back to New King James. 1 Peter 2:16. Remember, we're talking about spiritual freedom and spiritual liberty. It says, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. That actually, some scriptures say, or translations say, that you act out that freedom. We should be acting out and living outwardly the freedom that we have on the inside. A very, very simple thing. Now, it doesn't look free, but it is free. So I'm going to share it with you because this is my life. I can't share your life. I can only share my life. There have been times when I have been under attack physically. Serious symptoms, serious things. The reason I had a lady tell me, why didn't you come and tell me? I didn't need to come and tell you the detail. I needed to come among believers. I needed to come among a spiritual atmosphere. Do y'all not know we're sitting right now in a spiritual atmosphere? This isn't like the country club or sitting in the park or sitting at the beach, even sitting at home, sitting in your yard, sitting on the patio, floating in the pool. This is way, way, way beyond that. This is a spiritual atmosphere. God's presence is here in us. Amen? So this is why sometimes you might not be able to see something wrong with me. Because spiritually, in that area of sickness and disease or infirmity or weakness or accident or calamity, I know I am free. You can't take that away from me because I know it, I practice it. If I have to have, okay, this sounds terrible, but I'm just going to say it. If I have to have people carry me in, I'm going to be carried in. I'm just telling you, I've already been carried in. I've been carried in and sat on the wall because I couldn't stand up. Fine. Did I remain like that? Obviously not. But why did I keep coming? Why did I put into practice what I believed? Because I knew spiritually on the inside, out here in this body, I wasn't free right then. But my mind had already been renewed, my soul was convinced, and my spirit and my soul stood up, and that body got here. And you can say, oh, no, it's just you. You just have that kind of will. No, I don't. I don't have that kind of will. I'll tell you right now I don't have it. That was the Spirit of God, the will of God, the way of God, the truth of God, and the life of God rising up at that moment that I didn't have to sit down in it, I went and walked right on through it. Now, it didn't, see, we got to get stopping with this. You know, one time when something happened to me, I was going to go look in the mirror, and I thought I should look at myself. And just like that, a thought came, don't do this, don't do this. Because when you go to that mirror, you're not going to be confessing my word. You're going to be confessing about what you see. And you know what? That's the Holy Ghost telling me that. I was going to the mirror. I was going to get to that mirror, and I was going to look at what's going on. Why? I needed to be looking in here. This is where my focus, my attention, and that's another thing that we're going to look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You need to find out what grabs your attention, what grabs your focus. Seriously, what grabs it? Do you know that out these doors something could happen right now, but I would not run, I would stay right here? I know that. And it could be, who knows what it could be out there, but I'm telling you, if out there tried to come in here, I would stay in my position. I would not run. I would stay firm. I would stay fastened. I would start, of course, I would expect the word to start coming right out of my heart and into my mouth immediately. Because I'm working on having a spiritual life. So out from that way of life, I can draw from what I need out here. Because sometimes I don't know what's coming at me. But I know what's in me, and I should know what's going to come from me. And sometimes we're not sure, and something does come from us, let me say this, that shouldn't be there. So what do we do about that? Back to the Word, you recognize it, you repent of it, and you root it out. You get it rooted out. That's what you have to do. You have to get it rooted out. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Whew, we're going to talk about... oh, boy. This is a great life once you get it straight. You know what I'm saying? If you can get this straight in your thinking, it's a good life. It is a good, good life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look at verse, 18. I think it's 18. Let me see. I don't have that one written down, but I'm sure it is. About the unseen and the seen and the temporal and the eternal. Okay, this is what we're talking about. You've got to get more acquainted with the eternal and the everlasting and the never-ending and the unseen. I've got to be more comfortable with the unseen than I am with the seen. Just like that day I wanted to get up and get to that mirror. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You stopped me. Because who knows what I would have said into that mirror? Who knows the conversation I would have had? I just know it wasn't going to lead me out or through. It was just going to put me in. And when you think about being in, think about you're spiritually liberated. You're free in the spirit. If you don't get free in the spirit, you won't get free out here. You're just not going to get free. I wish it could happen. I'd like it to skip over the spirit, but it just doesn't happen like that. It's a progression. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 somewhere says, it's spirit, soul, body. That is the correct progression of growing. Spirit, soul, and body. The only reason I can get my body under control is when my spirit is strong, full of the word, growing, and stands up and ascends. It has to come up over that thing, whatever that thing is. I mean, you know, I can remember one time when I knocked myself out, completely out. When I came to, this is what I heard. I'm praying in tongues. I mean, I'm praying in tongues. I think someone's in trouble. I don't even know it's me. I don't know it's me. But you know what that showed me from that day? That's only happened once to me. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want that to ever happen again. But it showed me that your spirit can be in ascendancy. Your spirit can be ready. Your spirit can rise up in a blink. A blink. And you know what? I recovered from that. And I was just amazed about that. One time, Christy, our daughter, she fell and broke her jaw. And we took her to the emergency room. They wouldn't do anything. And she had had braces on, and the braces were all twisted because her jaw was broke. And they wouldn't touch her. And they said, you just have to take her back home, and you have to find an oral surgeon in the morning. Well, she was in pain. And that's when I found out, you know what? Your spirit can rise up and you can pray. I prayed all night for her so peace could come on her. Till we could get the next day to where we needed to be. And I was told, you can't do that. There's no way. Don't tell me you did that. I said, oh, I did it. I said, because my spirit took over. I said, I couldn't have done that in the flesh. I was tired. I was upset. I knew it. She busted her jaw. But in the spirit, because spiritually I had been being trained. I'm still being trained. I will never stop training. You'll have to shut the door, put a board across it, and say, don't come anymore, Hugh Ellen. I'm telling you, I'm coming. I'm going to be trained. I'm going to be taught. I'm going to be disciplined. Whatever it takes. Do I receive it all the time? No. But I keep coming back. Because I will receive it. God is always on time and he's never late. A word spoken fit for due season. I'm talking spiritual liberation that will come forth from you and be able to renew your mind, restore your soul. Then go after the body. Because if without a renewed mind and restored soul, I mean, you're trying, but I'm talking about doing. I'm talking about I'm doing this. Just like being brought in here, you know, one arm like this. See, hardly anyone's been here to see that. But there was that day. And I know why that I rose up from that. Spiritual food to a spiritual being, producing a spiritual life. Without it, there's no rising up. There isn't. You can't do this on your own. You can't do this positively thinking. You can't do this by a strong will. There's just no way to do it. So we're thinking, I haven't read this yet, have I? I got all excited about thinking about that. Okay, I did. All right, so it says in 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen. I was going to that mirror. I was going to look at the things that were seen. To this day, I never saw myself. I never saw it. I didn't see my head split open. Never saw it. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, the things that we should be knowing, the things going on the inside of you and me. Amen? For the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen, they're the temporary things. But the things that are not seen are the eternal things. The spiritual things. Looking in that mirror was not going to be spiritual. Looking in that mirror was not going to bring me out, bring me through, put me over, encourage me, help me, settle me down into the things of God. It wasn't going to happen. Amen. And because of being in the Word, the Holy Ghost had a moment with me. Thank you, Lord. Woo, thank you, Lord God. Thank you so much. Let's go up to 1 and 2. It says, verses. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we don't lose heart. But, this is what I want us to look at. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God. Don't handle the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation or in experience or encountering of the truth, give yourself to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Because they were in the church and they were wanting to teach the people. Well, we have ministers that are in this body, overseers, and they're wanting to teach us. In fact, they are standing up and they're teaching us for in every opportunity they look to teach us. So what are we doing about that? What are we doing about it? Are we learning to handle that word of God? Are we learning how to divide it rightly and get the truth out of it? Or do we just say, yeah, that's nice, but that doesn't happen for me. Yeah, I can see that, but that I had a situation that didn't happen for me. You better start looking back within. Work on the unseen. Work on the eternal. Work on the spiritual. On the spiritual first. It's spirit first. Then it will manifest in the natural realm. It'll manifest where we're living out here among one another. Amen. We have got to have that concentrated effort and that focus. But where are we going to focus? Am I focused out here or am I focused in here? We've got to protect our spiritual liberty, our spiritual freedom. You know, we get so caught up in the freedoms out here. But honestly, do you know what? It doesn't matter what other people, the government, anybody that's in authority, what they say or don't say, what they do or don't do, I'm going to continue to live free because what I'm putting and continuing to receive on the inside of myself, continuing to let that word, you know, take root in me and grow deep so that when those things shake me, I got deep roots in me. You're not going to be able to shake it out of me. I'm working on this spiritual life, building that spiritual house. A house on the rock, on a firm foundation, on something that's absolute, even though they'll tell you, the Bible is not absolute. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because it really does always work. It always stands. It's always the same. So it is absolute. You might pick and choose parts of it and put it down and pick it up and, you know, not pay attention to it. But yes, the Bible is. The Word of God is absolute. If you're looking for absolute and sure, go for the Word. Yes. Amen? Because the Bible says that we're supposed to live in the sight of God. See, we're not the ones with hidden things. We're not the ones behind closed doors. We're living in the sight. We're living in the sight of our God. I'm living openly. I'm living from the light in me. That's the light. That's all the light I can live in. What's in me? And I'm going to walk in that light. And I'm going to get more light. And the light's going to become brighter. And that light's going to shine. And that light's not just going to touch me, but it's going to touch others. Amen? Amen. Never, never let someone tell you because you don't have the whole counsel of God's word working in your life that you still can't share the word with somebody, because that's just a lie. That's just a lie. One of those times when I was attacked with that accident, my girlfriend came to my house and she would help me to, you know, because I couldn't lift my arms above my head. And so she would help me with my hair. She would help me sometimes when I needed help. This is before services. Nobody knew this. But you know what? At the end of all that help, you know what she ended up telling me when she saw that my shoulder got totally healed? She told me that the devil, she said, you know, Huelen, the devil performs miracles. The devil heals. All this time, she's coming all the time to my house. I'm like, what? She's a Christian. I said, what purpose would he have of healing my shoulder so I could have two well, whole shoulders to do and serve in the will of God? What purpose, Jenny, would he have? Of course, she didn't have an answer. Boy. That's a stretch, y'all, right there. You know that, right? That's a stretch. That's not the truth. That's wicked and evil to even think like that. Amen? All right, so let's go on to, where do I want to go? Romans 7:6, and I think I want to do this out of the Living Translation. We got to get our thinking straight, and we got to remember who we are. And when things that are told to us or spoken to us or done to us doesn't line up with who we are, guess what? We don't have anything to do with them. You know, right after that one little conversation that day, no more to do with her. All righty. Romans 7, 6. Oh, let me do it in the Living Bible. This is good. I promise. Very good. Okay, the Living Bible says this. But now you need no longer worry about the Jewish laws and the customs. It's talking about the traditions and the customs and the festivals and all that. Because you died while in their captivity. But now you can really serve God, not in the old way, mechanically obeying a set of rules, but in the new way with all of your hearts and all of your minds. Think about that. We are no longer going through rituals. We are no longer in religion. We are no longer just holding to some kind of tradition. But we're in a place to come into a relationship. I can come into a relationship with my Father. I can come into a relationship with the Word of God, with His Son, with the Holy Spirit. When I come into that relationship, I can grow in that relationship. I can serve Him through that relationship. I can get into His will through that relationship. Because why? Because I'm knowing Him. See, inside being free. Not always having to be subject to every thought or thing that goes on in my head or out here in front of me. I don't have to be subject to that. But I will become subject to it if I don't stay with the Word. See, I got to stay with the life that's in the Word. I've got to stay looking to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God within my spirit. The Holy Spirit is within your spirit. He's the one teaching us. He's the one training us. He's the one that's continuing to liberate us and show us our freedom. And that's how I've walked through some things. We had trouble with finances when the economy fell, I think, in 2008, something like that. And we actually lost our business. There was no business, none. But you know what? We did what was right in our sight by our conscience. We continued to pay off our debts. We continued, but did it take everything? It took everything. It took all our assets. It took all our savings for us. Everything gone, right ground level again. You know what? I had a bad time with that. I cried to the Lord. I cried and I said, Lord, I know You're the one that prospered us. I know You're the one that brought these things to us. We know this. We never had these things but by You. And now we couldn't hold on to them. Oh, that just about crushed me. I did. I would cry, poor Pastor Morgan. I'd meditate that thing and then I'd have to talk it. And I'd cry so hard because I felt like, and I'd say to God, I failed You. I failed You because we didn't hang on to the blessing. And that's what hurt me. And you know, one day He finally shut me up. And He just did. He said, stop. What are you going to do about it? Thank You, Jesus. Everything is well and whole and even better than it was. But the point of it is this. It's just like me looking in that mirror. Looking at the problem. I went to the mirror to see the problem. That's all I went for. That's the same thing with our mouth. I was just continuing to rehearse that trouble, that problem, that failure. I mean, I would say it to Him, boo-hooing. Now, I never stopped, you know, loving Him. I never stopped coming to church, none of that. But I'm telling you, behind the closed door, I was crushed. I was devastated that and I took the blame on us. I took the blame for it. I don't know why I took the blame. I don't know why. But I did. So, but you know what? The Word and the love and support of this body. You didn't even know it. You just kept loving and supporting us. All of that brought us right through and right out. Amen. Delivered out of and set back on the course that we knew that we were set on. It didn't have to affect us. It could have. You know, those days affected many people. They cut and run. Yeah. They cut and run. Where are you going to run to? It's throughout the nation. I'm thinking, where are you running to? They begged us, come with us. We'll get you a job. We can do it. We can fix you up. And I'm thinking, man, horses and chariots. By that time, I'd gotten myself straight. Horses and chariots, don't trust in them. I know it's a good promise, but. And so that didn't happen now, did it? See, we're right here in the very same place. But it's good to know that when the Living Bible tells you that you have a new way now. And you have a new way with your heart and your mind and your spirit and your soul and your thinking. We have a new way. Amen? Oh, I got to stop. Let me give you one more. Let me just leave you with a proverb. This is a good proverb. Proverbs, because it's talking about what we're talking about being spiritually liberated, spiritually free. Amen? It's Proverbs 28. Yeah, Proverbs 28. Let's get over here. Let me leave you with this. We have got to get a hold of the Word is our answer. That's who we are. That's how we're made. We're created to receive the Word. And when you receive the Word, you can receive answers. You can receive life. You can receive the way out. You can receive the course that you're to go on and stay with. 28, and let me see what... Oh, what do I want? Do I want Proverbs? Let me see. Oh, no, I want 25:28. That's why. 25:28. I knew that didn't make sense. Okay, Proverbs 25:28 says this. I want you to listen to this. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit, it's like a broken down city without walls. No protection, no security. We have to learn who we are, get into that spiritual realm, get back into position, get back into that thinking, get back into that being persuaded, let's say, and persevere in the spirit. You will wear yourself out persevering with your flesh. We're not made for that. It'll be like a short sprint. But you got to go around the track to get to the finish line. And you're like, am I at the finish line? No, you just took about 3 steps. You're not finished. But it says that's what you've got to do. You've got to learn how to rule over your own spirit, and then you rule from it. If you get hold of it, you can rule from it. You can make your decisions from it. You can walk in liberty from it. Amen? Amen? Amen. I just can't say that enough. I'd like to go on. I will not go on. But please, please, let's start thinking. Keep ourselves in remembrance of that. Where did the freedom and the liberty come? It came to you, the spirit being. It came inside your spirit, and the Holy Spirit will help you through the Word develop that spiritual liberty. God says stand in it, so you know it's been given. We ought to be practicing it. We ought to be exercising it. We ought to know that it is present, and we ought to be able to tell when I fell down, Lord. I fell apart. I stepped away. Amen? Amen. We need to know that. Okay, so we have to finish there, okay? We have to finish. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you for your Word that's alive, your Word that's well, Father, and that's your Word that comes to lodge in us, Father God, so that it can take root and grow deep, 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 Father God. We thank you, Lord God, for that. We thank you, Father, that giving and receiving is of you. It's your way. It's your will for us. It's your truth. It's your life, Lord God. We don't add to it or take away from it. I thank you, Father. There's a grace for giving and a grace for receiving. And by faith, Father, we do these things, Lord God, and through love, because we love you, Lord. We're not trying to work an angle, Father God, or get something that we don't deserve. We're just simply operating and functioning and agreeing, Father, with your plan. So we thank you for it. We bless you for it. We honor you for it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you are giving this morning, whether you're sowing a seed, bringing in the tithe, a free will offering, whatever it is you're doing, think about it. Do it by faith. Do it because you love God. Do it in an atmosphere of worship. Because giving is worship. Giving is worship. We love him, therefore we enter in like this. And we remember him, and we bless him, and we praise him in this time. Live streamers, if you want to give into the ministry, you can go to our website, newlifefamilyworship.net. There is a giving link. You just go on there, you follow the directions, and at the end of the year, we will send you a tax-deductible receipt. That we love you. We thank you for joining us. In Jesus' name, amen.